Previously on My Occam with Sass.
Welcome to the year 2006.
It's Make Your Own Kind of Music with Scott and Steve.
Scott Stevesdale.
Steve Scottson.
And we're here to make your own kind of music to really put out a message out there that we need sass. We need sass in our lives, and we need it now.
And by doing so, we're going to steal a bit and hopefully not offend the loyal listeners of My Occam with Sass.
My Occam with Sass.
Yeah, you want to sing your little song?
The fusiest. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I'm drunk enough, but it's a little like my Yakima sass, my Yakima sass.
Well, just so you guys know, my name's Ralph, and this is
Ben.
And if you heard my birthday message, like on the Jay and Jack podcast, or maybe it was on the birthday message that I drunkenly left on Make Your Own Kind of Music, Ben here is the guy who is drunkenly singing My Occam with Sass.
And I didn't care what podcast it was for. Yeah. My Occam with Sass, Jay and Jack, that other one about My Little Pony that we listened to.
Yeah, 5 Minutes with Freddy.
5 Minutes with Freddy, my favorite podcast on the internet.
If anything comes of this, you guys have to give me a call and let me know what you guys think of a podcast called 5 Minutes of Freddy, which is a lost podcast, but we discuss the last 5 minutes of each Freddy episode that my TiVo records before Lost.
So basically, we analyze the episode as best we can with what we see. You know, talking about why is Freddy in jail with George Lopez, and what is the housekeeper doing there?
Well, who's the lady that's hiding in the closet overhearing Freddy kiss that girl?
And Brian Austin Green is going to Rocky Horror Picture Show? What?
Remember when Brian Austin Green had his head shaved? It was obviously some kind of bet that happened.
Yeah, he won or lost. I mean, we would have to guess on the podcast.
But was he wearing crutches?
We watch a lot of Freddy.
Dude, Freddy's pretty wacky. I think he was wearing crutches. He wasn't using them, he was wearing them.
He had a crutch cape.
Yes. So anyway, we're probably not going to do the 5 minutes of Freddy unless we get, you know, just our phones go off the hook. But let's get... what
switchboard's lighting up.
All right, Steve, what do you say? Let's get lost?
Let's get lost. Let's do it.
I hate that phrase, get lost.
Let's get tailies.
That's stupid, too.
Fusies?
Fuck you. All right, guys, let's get lost. True, let's go to the 8 points of Revelation in no particular order. Revelation number 4. Sun is a literary slut.
Literary.
Does that make sense to you?
What, are you trying to say she's literally a slut, or she's a slut that reads and knows literature?
She appears to be a slut, but she is actually going to learn English.
Ah, that's right. She shows up to the guy's door at the hotel, and you think, oh, man, this is a slut.
Mr. Lee. But she's, in fact, trying to learn English. Which,
a literary slut.
We were watching this the other day, doing a review of the episode, and I found that Sun's fake English accent is just horrible. What did she say? She says, I would like a cup of tea.
Iced tea, yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was pretty funny that...
So that's the revelation, is that Sun wants to learn English. Big reveal.
Alright, that's number... that's revelation. Revelation... That leads us to revelation number 3. Bernard forgets Rose's birthday.
Ouch.
This episode isn't actually that interesting, so let's go to revelation number 2. Locke calls dibs on his bunker.
Yeah.
Locke tells Anna Lucia that it's his hatch. And, well, as you know, I don't know.
I guess it's finders keepers, really. I mean, Locke was the first guy there.
You should call it his hatch, but it's dedicated to Boone. Because Boone was also there when he found it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Boone dropping the flashlight, they would have never found the hatch that leads to the bunker.
So, nice Butterfingers, Boone.
Yeah, thanks to Butterfinger Boone. That
Butterfinger Boone.
Locke now owns a hatch.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Revelation. That's my favorite. Let's go to Revelation number 6.
Okay. Sawyer Reed's Judy Blume.
That guy, I don't know. My wife was telling me that she had just read that Judy Blume book, which was Hello.
Are you there? God, it's me, Margaret.
Yeah, and apparently it's about a girl getting her first period and people making fun of her.
And Sawyer says it's predictable, right? I guess every girl is eventually going to get her first period. Is that the predictable part?
I guess so.
Sawyer's reading level is going down. I mean, if you look at it, he was reading Watership Down, which is actually kind of complicated. And then he was reading A Wrinkle in Time, which is like an 8th grade book. And now he's reading Judy Blume, which is like a 5th grade book. So,
but is this like Damon and Carlton's like clever way to say, like, okay, he's reading a book about a girl getting her period and son's not getting hers?
Oh.
These guys are idiots.
Probably not.
Okay, Revelation number 7, Henry's stupid-looking map, which is a map he draws for Anna Lucia to tell him where the balloon is. My main problem with this whole thing is that Henry draws the map, and he draws the map, I'm assuming, from the bunker to the balloon. And the thing I don't get is he was knocked out cold in the middle of the jungle by Danielle when she shot an arrow into his shoulder. And I don't understand
how he knows where he is.
How he knows where he is as a starting point. So that might have been the first tip-off that he is, in fact, not who he says he is.
Huh, that's good. I like that.
Okay, let's go to number 8 because we still have 3 more episodes to go. All right, on to Revelation number 8. Saeed's building some sort of diner.
Saeed? Yeah, on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach.
He says something about a dining table. A dining room table? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so that's Revelation number 8.
They've been there for, what, 60 days now?
At this point, yeah, I guess, about 60 days.
They're just now getting to a diner, whereas Gilligan's Island, like, they showed up and the first thing they did was make huts with bunk beds, and it's a shame.
Okay, which leads us to Revelation number 1, the final of 8 revelations, which isn't really a revelation, but it kind of hits you over the head in this episode at the very beginning. Sun is hot.
The sun is hot. Don't look at her for too long. You might go blind.
She shows up into the hotel room, or I'm assuming it's a hotel room.
No, it could have been their bedroom. I mean, they're married. They don't have to go to a hotel to... But they could live at the dad's hotel. I don't know.
It wasn't the dad's hotel. It was the dude she's being a literary slut with's dad's hotel.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Jin just worked the front desk, or the front door.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, Sun is totally hot in her pajamas. And as you mentioned during the episode, so is...
Jin. Jin is actually... I mentioned that? You're going to put that right on me, huh? Yeah, he is, man. I was just going to bring it up for people that are oriented that way, that Daniel Day-Kim's got a...
Oriented? Oriented? You mean like man lovers?
No, I'm just saying. Episode seen between two hot people, and Daniel Day-Kim was on a radio interview the next day here in the L.A. market, and he was saying that scene wasn't particularly hard to shoot. It wasn't very difficult for him to get in bed with a beautiful woman in lingerie. So, good for him.
So, his orientation is towards the sun.
All right. Just like the earth.
All right, guys.
More points.
All right. Now, let's get this rolling. We have 3 more episodes to go.
Okay.
Let's start on Lockdown.
Lockdown.
And let's go to Revelation. Let's start with Revelation number 1. Gale remembers the numbers really well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's saying that he's an other or if he's just a math genius like the guy on Numbers, but he's got him down.
I don't understand other TV shows. I only live off Lost. Now, could it be like photographic memory? Like maybe, who knows?
Phonographic memory, because he heard them. Like a phonograph.
All right, Revelation number 3. let's not do 3 yet. Okay. Goes on with this one. Okay. Revelation number 5. Nadia is alive.
Yay. In the past. She's alive and well in the past. It might even be before Saeed goes looking for her.
Who knows? All this character tying in stuff, I hope it pays off. Like, maybe they have some kind of party where...
Yeah, like...
Sawyer meets up with Kate's mom and says, hey, I remember you, and...
Yeah, like, that. After it's all over, when they get rescued, they can have a great big reunion, and like, oh, remember when I ran into you? Yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I saw you on TV in Korea.
You remember when you checked out my basement?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number 6. Locke has a new job, which now Locke has been a worker at a Toys R Us.
And then in this case, he's a home inspector.
Yes.
And it looks like he might own his own business. I don't know where I got that from. Like, maybe just because he was driving the truck. And then later on, he's a regional collections manager for Box Company. So I think he definitely moves up in the world as time progresses.
I can't wait for the next flashback in season 3 where Locke is a one-man band. I think that'll be excellent.
I think he, I mean, we can talk about how the episode ends, right?
What's that?
We can talk about, like, what happens in the episode. Like,
yeah, we're just, yeah.
I think fine. He takes the $200,000 and goes and gets himself a CPA and gets the collections manager job. That's my theory. That's my spoiler.
All right. Okay, let's go to Revelation number 8. Sawyer dropped out of the 9th grade.
Yep.
We find that a couple other things about Sawyer we find out is that that Sawyer believes that 10 mangoes equals one bottle of aspirin.
Which does make sense to me. You can go and pick 10 mangoes. You can't pick any aspirin.
Yeah, so there's that whole thing with the poker game. Which brings up Revelation number 4, which is Jack cannot pass up a game of poker, and he is a master at it.
Jack's a master at poker, and he's a better con man than Sawyer will ever be.
And it's also probably the lamest excuse to keep someone away from the action.
Yeah, that's right. That's why Jack doesn't see what's going on in the hatch, is because he's too busy pokering it up.
I would have rather seen Jack, like, run into the jungle to find Sawyer's frog to kill. Like, it was just that lame. All right, let's see here. Let's go to Revelation number 2. Hurley is out of the loop.
Yeah, just like Charlie was complaining earlier about not getting all the good info, now Hurley's saying that he's outside.
Which, you know, usually with setups like that, they, you know, pay him off in later episodes. I'm wondering if by that line saying that Hurley is out of the loop, it's the producers telling us that Henry Gale...
False Gale
has not been spotted by Hurley. And I'm wondering if their past is has crossed before.
Ooh, maybe their pasts are intricately linked on Lost. Surprise!
Maybe Desmond's with Nadia right now.
Ooh.
Hanging out with Helen and Lee. All right, we're going to go to Revelation number 3. Locke exercises with loud music. Now, this is interesting. And one of the theories I have... Well, here, let's just discuss this. Let's make this, turn this revelation into something different. Locke sneaks a peek at Jack's wang.
Yeah, his eye is totally elevator.
In the beginning of the episode, Locke is shaving while Jack is in the shower.
Because it opens up his pores.
And Jack doesn't realize that Locke's in there. He comes out of the shower, and he seems kind of surprised that Locke is there, but he really doesn't cover up as if to say, hey, don't look at my body. So I'm assuming that Jack is dragon.
Yeah, well, I gotta think that, you know, with this whole power struggle conflict that's going on between Jack and Locke, where it's like, oh, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Maybe Jack took that opportunity to just stand there and be like, what?
And what? Locke was like, what do you mean, what?
What do you mean, what? Yeah, so you're dragon, but I'm a freaking hunter. So it's an interesting triangle between Jack and Locke and Jack's wing.
So one of the things that I noticed while Locke was exercising with the loud music, I have a theory that he was actually trying to either get that image out of his head, just because, I don't know, it just seems like you'd want to do jumping jacks after seeing that.
Yeah, make me want to do push-ups.
All right, let's go to, is this our final revelation? Revelation number 7.
Yes.
Earth's mightiest creation.
A toolbox.
When it comes to blocking huge blast doors that are thick...
Quick! Get me a toolbox!
Throw the toolbox under the huge blast doors that are made of metal that are 4-inch thick steel.
Yeah.
That should stop the toolbox. Oh, and while the toolbox is under there, let me toss my legs under there. I'm sure the toolbox will hold.
I think basically the Titanic was made out of toolboxes, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you think Locke would have known that before tossing it under the iceberg of the...
the iceberg was made out of blast doors.
All right, guys, that's enough with lockdown. We still have two more to go.
Two more to go. Sorry.
And let's go to the fantastic next two episodes.
Dave's pretty good.
Dave was good as far as television goes, but as far as learning stuff about Lost, I didn't think Dave was that fun. Like, second viewings of Dave... isn't exactly you know, chock full of stuff. At least with, you know, with lockdown, we got the map and we studied the map and, you know, everybody knows about the map.
So Dave wasn't that dense about the overall plot of Lost. It was just more about the plot of that episode and development of Hurley.
Yes, and the replay value. You could pretty much remember everything in Dave that...
with your phonographic memory.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the 8 revelations because we want to skate through these as fast as we can. Let's go to revelation number 1, Hurley's stash.
Not my stash, food stash.
His food stash. Hurley wants food so bad that he constructed a shelf. A refrigerator of sorts out of leaves and whatever.
And coconuts, of course.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot of food, Hurley.
And cereal goes on the right, Hurley.
That's the next episode.
I'm just telling them.
That's the left. Okay. Now, Hurley's stash is interesting. It brings up another point with this episode of Dave, where it seems like wasting food on the island is probably not the best thing to do, but the islanders love to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know why Hurley, I mean, he could give the food to other people, and yeah, it would expose him, but like he said in the episode where he's hanging out with Sawyer, that people like me. People will always like me.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to be said for giving the food back and finding out that you've been stashing it. I mean, there's not much psychological healing in just destroying the food and keeping your secret.
Yeah, he could still give it away, and he could still say, you know, hey, I figured that I was in charge of the food, and we might be losing, you know, our supplies might go away fast, that I kept this for a rainy day, so to speak.
Right.
But,
or the truth.
And another thing that bugs me about the wasteful food on the island is Sawyer and his damn Oreos.
Yeah.
He first of all, if he doesn't, like, get one open the way he wants it, he just tosses it.
Both sides. So for him, the joy of licking the frosting off is more important than having food on a deserted island.
Like, you've been eating papayas, mangoes, and whatever you had stashed, and you decide to throw out your Oreo ends. Whatever. It's kind of...
Okay. Revelations.
All right, you do the next one.
Okay, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to say Revelation number 7, which is my favorite, when Leonard is playing Connect Four either with Hurley or in front of Hurley. It's hard to tell. Dave totally references the good old Connect Four commercial by saying, "Pretty sneaky, Leonard."
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny as well. And I guarantee you, like in the writer's room, I don't know if Dave was written by Damon and Carlton, but I guarantee that Damon was so proud of it, but then had to explain to Carlton because it seems like Carlton doesn't...
Probably had to like go on YouTube and show Carlton the commercial and then draw him a map of why funny is funny. So do you think Damon was the one that wrote the "this one goes here, that one goes there" line?
Definitely. I know Damon's a big Star Wars fan. Sweet. But you know what? Enough about them. This is us. Okay. Scott and Steve.
Go.
All right, Steve. Let's go to Revelation number 3.
Okay. False Gale. We can see that his bad lying is even getting him into more trouble, as he says about real Gale, that he died before anything could happen, like he died on impact. And then Saeed busts out that $20 bill with that note on it.
Did you notice the $20 bill was the $20 bill from 2004? I have no idea what year that bill is, but I'm sure people are looking into that.
It's probably too new for people that are overanalyzing things. Actually, I just wondered what real Henry Gale's motivation was. I'm going to write this note on this 20 and put it on my wallet, and because I'll probably be found someday, someone might check my wallet. And
How does Henry know, or... God,
False Gale? Real Gale?
Fake Gale. How does fake Gale know so much about the real Henry Gale, yet the wallet was left behind?
You know, I got to think that the others beat some stuff out of him. Or interrogated him in some way.
Beat the shit out of him? Or
no, beat information. Some information out of him. While beating the shit out of him.
But take the wallet. I mean, I know 20 bucks isn't good on the island, but Jesus, seriously.
Well, there's something going on. Either this whole operation is either really stupid, or they didn't mind if someone dug up real Gale and found his ID. And we also have Revelation number 2.
Loonies love taking it to the hole.
Go, Loony!
Man, those Loonies basketball game was awesome.
Yeah.
That was probably the favorite part of my episode. The guy who looked like Jesus, who, like, took it all the way up the court without, like, bouncing the ball once or dribbling the ball once. And then
traveling.
Loony. Setting it out of bounds. That was awesome. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Revelation number 5. Echo hates pallets.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for this pallet. I will totally not use it. throat.
He, like, kicks it, like, yeah. Totally disrespectful. Like, Echo can't say, I'm sorry, Charlie, but I cannot use this pallet.
Well, because Echo made this whole point of going out into the forest and picking the right logs, right?
So Echo, being a man of faith, would rather cut down living trees.
Right.
Which, by the way, we're recording on Earth Day. I didn't know if you knew that, dolt.
I'm an idiot for not knowing Earth Day.
But he would rather cut down living trees than to get to use a pallet that someone who's totally helping out, like, just he's just helping him out.
He's just trying to be Charlie. Charlie is trying to find someone to like him again after the events of Three Punch in the Face Friday.
Yes.
So I think, you know, Echo spends all this time picking out the logs that are blessed because he has some sort of god radar to tell him which logs to use to build his church. And the pallet shows up. I bet you he's going to take 5 or 6 of the planks from the pallet and say, oh, these ones are good. And then throw the other ones away with his beard at Henry Gale.
All right, which let's go to Revelation number 6, which isn't really a revelation, but I thought it was pretty funny anyway. Revelation number 6.
Charlie claims to have seen a polar bear riding rollerblades while eating a mango.
Mmm.
That's a tasty mango when you're polar bear riding.
Now, if you're just a regular, you know, basic TV watcher, you probably think that's a joke, but I have a theory.
Oh, God.
That crazy Charlie, with his crazy biblical dreams, may have actually seen a polar bear riding rollerblades while eating a mango.
So, like, maybe he had a dream that Aaron was made out of chocolate lollipops? And he's going to flap his wings and fly away, which is another nonsensical thing that Charlie said.
God, I hope that happens.
Maybe these are lyrics. Maybe he's just working out lyrics for a new prog rock band for when he gets back.
Frog? What does that mean?
It means it's recorded in Czechoslovakia.
Got it. Okay, now we're going to go to Revelation number 4. Quote, crazy, unquote, Libby.
Yeah, we're led to believe that she's... Well, no, we know for a fact that she's in the loony bin. We're led to believe that she's crazy, but Steve has a different theory.
Yes, I have a theory, and I believe that she is doing... And what's the term I heard? There was a term for that.
Embedded, immersed research?
No, just researching. I think that she is a student, and she is pretending to be crazy.
Like Diane Fossey in The Gorillas, but with loonies.
Diane Fossey? Was it?
Yeah, or Jane Goodall in The Chimps.
Okay, wait, what?
There's more than one anthropologist.
Oh.
There's
right.
Two.
Let's go with the gorillas one because Hurley's kind of big. Which in this episode, oh my god! And this is something that we didn't. That it's not like I just kind of we found it funny and we were watching the episode and we brought it up, and it's made it sound like Hurley said at one point, "I'm so fat I kill 2 people."
Yeah, that was pretty much the dialogue. I mean, there was pauses and inflection, but yeah,
like that's the greatest new fat joke.
Yeah. Hey, your mama. Hey, Steve, your mama's so fat.
How fat is my mama?
Is that how your mama jokes work? I guess that's more of a Johnny Carson
style. It's like Johnny Carson doing your mama joke.
All right, I'll do it snapback style. Man, your mama is so fat, she killed 2 people.
Awesome. Good one. Good one, Harley.
All right.
All right, this is Revelation number 8, and this is a revelation that me and Scott Stevenson here have talked about.
Ad nauseum.
That's the word I was looking for.
Talked about it until I added some nausea.
And I got sick because of it. All right.
Polaroid.
The Polaroid picture.
The actual revelation is Dave isn't real.
Well, yeah, the revelation is Dave isn't real. And that's something that if you're listening to this podcast and you're steep in the Lost universe, probably knew pretty early on because you're looking for more.
Yeah, when Senator Kelly took that picture, I thought, why would he take a picture? Dave's probably not real.
Yeah.
And then I said it out loud because I'm an ass.
Yeah, which is funny because my wife, who loves to watch Lost, but she doesn't really try to overanalyze things, was surprised by the Polaroid picture. And she shook it. No. God, that was stupid. I'm taking that out.
All right, go for it.
No, I'm leaving it in. So anyway, the Polaroid, on if you look at it more... like a freak like me or Scott over here.
Freakish.
If you look at the Polaroid, there is no way that picture was taken at the same time that was portrayed earlier in the flashback.
Yeah, when Hurley poses with his hand over Dave and Dave gives up the horns because he's a crazy guy, it's quite bright outside and the sun is streaming through the windows in the background.
Yes, there's definitely daylight in the back and it's... Obviously, there's no way that, well, anyway, by the time you see the actual Polaroid picture itself.
Sans Dave, just Hurley.
Just Hurley. The windows are completely blacked out.
So black that I think the flash from the Polaroid reflects off whatever's blacking them out.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're overanalyzing
it. Oh, it's a Polaroid. They don't take good pictures.
Or you're just saying, you know, it's probably a production error. But if I'm directing an episode of Lost, which is ABC's biggest show, I don't know how that other...
Desperate Housewives?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I don't know where that stands in the ratings. But this is like... ABC show, and you're the director for one of the episodes that you know people are going to analyze, you're not going to let that slide.
I would not. If a continuity person came up to me and said, okay, here's the picture we're going to use for the prop, and I looked at it and it was that dark, I wouldn't notice. But Steve says he would say, take this away and you're fired and take me a better picture.
Now, if it was meant to be this way, if the image was supposed to be taking at nighttime, what do you think? What, in your opinion, do you feel would be the reason for the producers doing that?
Why would they let it happen to be different like that?
Not let it happen, but if they were, I mean, if it were done on purpose.
I guess it would have to be either just like a big FU to all of the people out there that overanalyze it. Maybe like, hey, here's a total continuity error in your face. Or like, I just got to think it comes from not caring, because I didn't notice it until you pointed it out with the screen capture. So, yeah. I don't know.
It seems like it's... Maybe, I don't know.
It
whatever.
Bugs. It's totally inconsistent. That's true.
Okay. Well, let's move on to SOS.
The best episode of the season.
Which was so chock full of revelations that there's two Dave revelations in this episode.
Because we had to we had to make room for them all by taking an episode.
Okay, let's go to SOS revelation number one from Dave.
From Dave. We find out that Marcus from the Looney Bin just can't finish his lasagna.
Sweet. How lame is that revelation? That
it's
we have
a revelation
to...
from SOS. Woo! All right. Also revealed that Hurley doesn't know how to use a fork.
God, you know, Hurley, you know, if you probably get more food actually in your mouth if you take your time and, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to make Hurley fat jokes.
I'm not. I'm saying that when he goes on his binge eating.
You got to feel bad for the guy.
Sloppy. He eats like the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, but you got to feel bad for the guy because he's so fat he killed two people.
I do, actually. I do.
Okay, let's go to revelation number two for SOS. Dave hates peanut butter on his slippers.
Remember that in SOS when in the episode before that Dave hated the peanut butter on his slipper? That's a revelation.
All right, now let's get to SOS. Let's go revelation number three.
Revelation
the
number three.
Cereal goes on the left, Bernard.
Rose and Bernard are putting away all the Dharma food on some shelving unit that they have installed on the beach, which I hope they put a tarp over.
Maybe that's what Saeed's making, is he's making furniture for people.
Yeah, he's got a brand new furniture business, a booming... Saeed Jarrah's furniture.
So I guess when Sawyer says, you know, I got a job for Saeed in the convenience store, that maybe Saeed already has a job.
Yeah, Saeed's already making furniture. So yeah, Rose and Bernard are putting the food away, and Rose is so OCD that on the middle of a desert island, she has to correct Bernard, Bickery Bickerson, that the cereal has to go on the left, like it's going to affect anything.
I don't know. Just Rose in this episode is just like, ugh.
Yeah, they're very, yeah.
Just like, take it easy.
Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
All right, go.
Let's go Revelation. Let's just do these in order.
Okay.
Revelation number four, Rose saves some Dharmalars for Hurley.
Yeah, she calls them cookies, but on the box it says Dharmalars, and I don't know what it's supposed to be. If it's supposed to be Malamar, then wouldn't it be Malamar? I don't get it.
Spell it.
Okay, Dharmalars.
Dharmalars.
So Dharma molars for Hurley. Hooray!
Sweet. It's so lame. I mean, this episode was chock full of nothing. But I like the fact that you had me go back and pause to see what it said on the box.
Because I wanted to figure out what the heck a Dharmalar was.
We wanted to figure out anything in this episode, but
yeah, good point.
I don't know. Right. Let's skip five. Let's go to six.
Okay.
You read it and see if you can figure it out.
This is how the revelation is written on Steve's notes. Revelation number six, Bernard's inner goat. And this comes from the scene when Rose and Bernard are in the outback. And Rose says something to Bernard. She says, she's like upset at him for taking her to this faith healer. And he says...
She says, well, here's exactly what she says. I have it written down in my awesome notes for SOS, which take about one line.
Rose,
I'm going to be portraying Rose.
Okay, and I'm going to be what happens in the background.
Okay. All right. I have made my peace with what is happening to me, Bernard. This is a goat.
There's goats in the background. It was very fun.
If you watch, I swear to God, like
oh,
I know you guys have this on your DVR, and if you want to get anything out of the episode SOS, go back and watch that scene that takes place outside the Faith Healer scene at the Faith Healer shack.
It's like a reaction shot of Bernard, and he looks, or Bernard, as Charlie calls him, and he looks at her, and
goat sounds start coming out. Like it's almost like. It's like a True Lies, which I'm referencing a movie from 11 years ago, when Arnold gets pissed at Paxton, and you hear that,
yeah,
like that.
That's the sound of Arnold's anger,
yeah,
rushing up.
Well, Bernard has goats. It's pretty. Trust me, if there's anything I learned from SOS, is that scene's hilarious. If you
Bernard
go back.
Is goat powered.
All right, revelation number 7 for SOS.
Ah, yes.
Kate is toy obsessed.
That's right. She every time a toy shows up, Kate's got to be all up on it, just like someone that likes toys.
Charlie on Mary statues.
Just like Charlie on a chocolate factory.
What about Charlie's cocoa factory? Yeah. Okay, so Kate finds a doll in the middle of nowhere, and instead of like saying, "Hey, Jack,"
look, a doll, and pointing,
she goes and picks it up like Chewbacca going for food.
Exactly.
Great. Great, Kate.
She's probably hungry for a doll.
Always thinking with your toy box.
You. Let's move on.
I wouldn't mind thinking with Kate's toy box. Huh, Steve? All right.
Oh.
All right, Rose. Let's go.
Revelation.
Let's go to Revelation number 8.
Okay.
Rose is cured and knows about Locke's wheelchair.
That's right. For the first time, we see someone... other than the flight crew, seeing Locke in his wheelchair before the crash of 8:15.
So does that mean it's safe for Cindy to come back?
Was that why she was killed off? So she couldn't blow
She wasn't
secret?
Killed off. She just went missing, which I was led to believe that, you know, and I've heard this before on podcasts, that, you know, if Cindy showed up...
She could say,
hey, you're the wheelchair guy.
Are you healed? Well, why is it that big of a deal? He can't be like... He can't tell everyone, yeah, I used to be paralyzed, but now I'm not. Is he just embarrassed?
I don't know. People don't like telling people things on Lost.
Maybe he thinks it'll take it away. Like, oh, if I tell everyone that I'm healed, then I won't be anymore. Like saying what you wished for on your birthday.
Speaking of which, what did Sawyer wish for?
Yeah. Like 4 years ago, he thought, oh, I hope I get stranded on a desert island and some chick with freckles lands on top of me.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna bring this up because you just mentioned 4 years ago, which is one of the numbers, and I am officially done with the numbers
as of this point.
They're being used so much now in SOS. They used them somewhere. I can't remember what. Oh, okay. Bernard mentions that he had 15 people helping him, and now there are only 4. Like, okay, I get it. The numbers. I'm done with them. Just like Hurley in Dave. Hurley says,
Senator Kelly says, that deck was built for... There were 23 people on a deck that was built for 8.
And 16 of them were female, while 42 feet from the... Whatever. I'm done with the numbers.
Okay. Numbers are over for you.
Okay. Well, speaking of Bernard's dwindling help, that leads us to the final revelation for SOS. That's revelation number 5, which is...
Craig and Frogert Bale.
Craig and Frogert Bale. They take off. They leave. Now, I don't know who Frogert is, but I definitely know who Craig is, which I'm pretty sure that maybe Cuse and Lindelof are listening to the podcast and know and had enough time to alter the script to mention that Craig has bailed. And I think that's a direct shout-out to Mr. Scott Stevesdale in My Alchemist Class.
I think so.
So that is going to be our 28th... points of revelation
32,
and let's get on to some, what do you think, spoiler foiler next?
Sure, let's do the spoiler foiler.
All right, let's do that.
I will find them and then talk to them.
This is your spoiler or foiler warning. If you wish to skip the spoilers, please skip ahead 7.5 minutes.
All right, now for the spoiler foilers. going to start with episode 2.20, Two for the Road, which is an Anna Lucia-centric episode, and it's coming out for us on May 3rd, 2006, here in the States. The guest stars are John Terry as Christian Shepherd, which is an awesome name, by the way.
John Terry?
No, Christian Shepherd.
Ah, Jesus.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Jesus, love God, is my name.
I am Moses Partsy. So, it also has Captain Teresa Cortez, as portrayed by Rachel Ticotin.
Who, and that's Anna Lucia's mother.
And Captain.
Whoa.
Michael Emerson as Henry Gale.
Is Anna Lucia's mother, Captain, also best friends with Nadia?
I sure hope so. Or maybe they arrest Shannon.
Michael Emerson is Henry Gale. I don't even consider that like a guest star anymore. Yeah, that guy's like the best thing going for Lost right now. He's my favorite part of the show.
And we heard him on a radio interview saying that he has to record like 5 or 6 different takes, yes, and each one with a different style of motivation, because even he doesn't know if he's another or not or what his deal is. So that's creepy.
Like, he has to play it as if he were
straight.
And then one where he's another.
Another.
All right.
And let's see.
Zine orientation video? All right, let's go.
Jack and Kate... Oh, this is the episode synopsis. Jack and Kate bring an exhausted Michael back to the camp, and with him, news about the others. Meanwhile, Anna Lucia attempts to get the prisoner to confess, and Hurley plans a surprise date for Libby.
Now, this is Dave speaking. Wait, what?
You said Dave.
I said Dave. Why did
I
say
you're
Dave?
Not here.
I was trying to say Scott or Stephen be clever, but I was also trying to say Ralph because
I'm
it would get my
in my room just imagining having a podcast fucking, with you.
Goddamn. Damon and Carlton with their are you real Damon or am I fake? Fuck those guys. Okay, so anyway,
we got F bombs?
Yeah, we got an explicit tag.
Oh man, I was gonna be fucking the whole time. Let's go back and re-record the whole thing.
Fuck you. Okay, here we go. What I was trying to get at was this. We were talking about...
just all this right here. The other...
Oh, the surprise. Hurley has a surprise date for Libby. I actually called the Jay and Jack show a while ago and mentioned this as a theory of mine, that the transmitter that Hurley and Saeed got together where they picked up the Glenn Miller, which they haven't brought up in like 5 episodes... I had a theory that Hurley was going to use that feed to play some Glenn Miller to have a surprise date for Libby.
A romantic date.
When is this happening?
May 3rd.
May 3rd. On May 3rd. If this happens, then you guys all owe me like $1 million each. Alright, fuck it.
I really wish I hadn't agreed to that, but it turns out that I didn't.
Alright, let's go on. Let's go on. Next episode.
Next episode.
2.21.
That's right, which is an Echo-centric episode, and the title is Question Mark. So it's going to be about Frankenstein, probably.
No one's going to get that joke.
They could go and watch Frankenstein and then see if there's any prominent question marks in the credits instead of Boris Karloff's name. And they'll figure it out all by themselves.
I can't wait to hear that revelation. Oh, question mark is Boris Karloff. Fuck it. Come on, let's go.
All right, air date May 10th. Let's see. In a flashback at the airport, Charlotte delivers a message to Echo, and Libby asks if everything is all right.
Who's Charlotte?
I don't know.
If anyone out there knows who Charlotte is, call us and let us know.
Yeah. Thanks. blah, blah, blah. Here's an interview with Damon talking about the blacklight map, and it's going to happen, be important in these episodes. And this episode, according to Damon, is an episode that's very much on the sort of fundamental axis of that map. And it's a Locke and Echo story, which is going to be awesome.
Keep going.
Executive producer Carlton Cuse.
Speaking of Frankenstein.
And right. I wrote it. That episode's called Question Mark because that is the symbol Locke remembers from the map. So way to go, Locke. You really have that photographic memory working for you. Picking out a question mark. Oh, surprise.
like if anything, like the question mark's in the middle of the map. It's like the biggest question mark you've ever seen. What happened to Locke? He used to be so smart.
He remembers a question mark. That tells him nothing. It just tells him that he doesn't know something there.
Go to the middle of the island.
That's a question mark to him. Oh, God. Okay. And this is apparently a Claire or possibly other...
No, that's all BS. It looks like... Oh, wait, what's this?
Charlotte. Featuring Charlotte, a 16-ish Australian who suffers a near-death experience. That's a spoiler from Secret Agent Man at Television Without Pity. So, you know, we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, we'll see that.
Okay, and then coming up after that, we've got episode 2.22 called 3 Minutes, and it's Michael-centric, and it's about my love life.
What?
Three minutes.
God, I'm going to put it... All right.
I'm exaggerating.
Oh, wait, what?
This episode's going to play on May 17th, which is a bunch of people's birthdays.
It is. It is a bunch of people's birthdays, including my sister's, my friend Ryan's sister, brother... my friend Dylan's, probably his sister, Steve's sister, and Scott's uncle.
Yeah.
Steve.
And, so May 17th, it's a Michael-centric episode, as we said, and he's, we're going to learn what he's been up to in the past, couple of...
3 minutes.
Well, in the past 3 minutes. Which is
running with a torch, making a torch, leaving his gun behind, putting some dirt on his face, growing a beard, and running down into the arms of Jack, who is dragging.
Which is just a dream for him. It says right here that Walt will be back, and that source is from TV Guide.
Fuck TV Guide, whatever.
Okay. Let's see.
Now, here's the deal. A lot of people have been discussing this call sheet, and we don't scroll down yet, because you just did. Episode 2.23, Live Together, Die Alone, is a 2-hour season finale, which I don't want to get into much, but let's just say this. Let's just do the one thing.
Okay.
Apparently, it is Desmond-centric.
There you go.
Now, is it going to be Desmond, you know, running stairs for, you know, his whole flashback, or are we actually going to see what he's been up to on the island?
I'd rather see him from the island.
Do you think that Desmond may have crossed paths with Michael on the island?
I think they probably joined up and super copped it up together. Kia! Fighting crime on the other side of the island.
So they're like the island...
They were the island mod squad. It was Desmond and Michael and Cindy hanging out together on the other side of the island, busting drug dealers.
I already forgot about Cindy. I was just going to say Miami Vice of the island.
Oh, that'd be
one's
better.
One's Crockett and one's Tubbs.
And
Vincent is the alligator.
And they can still fight drug dealers. There's a lot of drugs in Miami.
All right, well, that's it. Spoiler, foiler.
Spoiler, foiler, over.
All right, guys, now it's time we get to the listener junk section of the podcast. And we have a few calls from some of the more rabid Mike Massas fans at the new sauce line, the SOS line, which is you can contact me at 206-333-1530.
Ooh, 15.
So, I'm done with it. Okay, so let's get to some of the calls. Our first call is from a Red Sox fan from, well, I'm assuming Boston, but it's Red Sox fan. Let's hear that call now.
Red Sox and Joke fan.
Yes.
Hey, Scott and Steve, I just thought you guys should know that there's a petition going around my school to allow Segways in the actual school to carry people's books around themselves. Yeah, I thought you guys might want to know. Bye. Oh, yeah. Come back. Bye.
Okay. Well, the Segway, you know, huge in Scott and Steve lore with the Segway and the guy who, what was that guy's name? I don't remember. Anyway, thanks, Red Sox. Now let's get to a call we got from Jen, who's servo on the Jan Jack boards. And she had this to say.
My uncle was sass. Steve is sass. Oh, sorry. No, we're about to get started, I guess. I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I love the sass. It's just, it's wonderful, and it makes my heart happy, and it makes me smile. And you guys, whatever, what the heck, you know, I know Dylan's been gone, but come on, you need the sass. It's like a part of my life's missing. It used to be I come home and after a good boss episode, and I download and bam, so the sass is on my computer. I can, like, sense it as I walk in my bedroom door. I look at my computer, and I know there's a new sass episode. All right, I'm not rambling. I'm sorry, dude. Just wanted to thank you guys for being awesome for as long as you guys should, even if you don't finish or, like, go on, which I really like, but you guys are awesome, and you inspired me and a friend of mine to do our own podcast about Lost that should be coming out soon. So thanks for that, and please do something. I go to your boards and whatever Blogspot thingy, and I look at it all the time, and is just longing for it, and keep listening to the episode with John and Bluestone, because I love that episode. You guys are awesome, and I've said it like 8 times, but it's so freaking true. It's just awesome! Alright, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm done now. Okay, bye.
Okay, and what do we got next?
We got a call from Tim the Jellyman, all the way from Britain.
Alright, everyone. Tim the Jellyman here. Just thought I'd say what's up, and that I'm totally behind the Ralph with this experiment. I will even record my own little segment for the show, which will have some sort of hilarity, although Kim's is probably good enough. And, yeah. Anyway, Lost is good, but my Occam is fucking genius. Out of the 30 or so podcasts that I listen to regularly, it is, or was, by far the most entertaining and on a par with Ricky Gervais, so... Yeah, and I'm fucking English, so, yeah. Anyway, on to Lost, or the show. I think we should have Lost a Likey competition where people can email pics of themselves looking like the Lostaways. It is a lame idea, I know. However, I only just got Ralph's email, and as I've only just got home from work, I'm really quite hungry and need a drink. So, well done, Ralph. Hope to hear the podcast, whatever. Email me back. If feasible, because I can just give you my server details, and you can just FTP that shit straight on there, and I can listen to it. Yeah, I do trust you that much, baby. Goodbye from shitty England, and hope to hear from the My Occam with Sass in a roundabout soon. I'm babbling now, so I'm going to go. Cheers.
Thanks, Tim. And now we are going to go to a call from Turlock in Seattle.
Hey, what's up? I was just wondering what you guys thought about Rosa Bernard becoming others now. Now that it seems that they're not going to leave the island, I was thinking maybe that they were going to join the others in order to, you know, have a steady supply of food and somewhere nice to sleep and stuff. So, and also, I've been reading on some message boards about something called a super horse. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that, but maybe you can clue me in. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Turlock. And now we're going to go to one of the My Occam with Sass big-time fans from the beginning of the old-school days of My Occam with Sass, Mr. Chad Newsom.
Hey, this is Chad from Greensboro, and... I don't know if I've called too late to make the recording or not, but anyways, getting kind of boring without the Lost cast, watching Lost, but no podcast to go with it from Scott and Steve. Yeah, you guys should bring the Scott and Steve podcast back, because all we've got left now is Lost cast. They're not funny. All right, see you.
Hello, Scott and Steve. This is Uncle Igmar. We miss you out here in the Jersey Pine Barrens. Me and Aunt Beulah, she's been inconsolable since you guys went off the air. Please come back. We really miss you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Ralph, for the attempt at resurrecting My Occam with Sass. I think that's very good of you, and I'm very happy to... call in, because my goodness me, I've missed it. This is Seattle Jimmy here. Hope you're doing well. Hope all the listeners are doing well, including Craig and, of course, Dylan, wherever he is exactly. So let me quickly get this over with. The fact of the matter is, I believe there's been 4 episodes since Michael Massas went on hiatus, Whole Truth, Lockdown Dave, and SOS. And I would say, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one that's actually been much good, that being Lockdown. I thought the Whole Truth was all right. It was kind of good of Gin and Soon, if you were into that kind of thing. I think it was kind of written for the shippers, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, we found out about the pregnancy or the his inability to conceive. All very nice and good, but I thought it was a bit of a bit slow personally. Sawyer was just comic relief, which is a waste of the new sheriff idea. But then, well, Warped, I think, with Lockdown, which I do think is generally regarded as a favourite of the recent episodes. You know, it was very well written, and it certainly was suspenseful. Everybody seemed to like it. And I actually think Henry Gale is probably the best thing going for the show at the moment, actually. Dave, well, it's all right, wasn't it? But, you know, it threw a spanner in the works, I think, and had a few moments. But, I don't know, it was seemed a little convenient. But as I've said on the blogs, I do believe it's the only way that you could really explain the numbers if it was, you know, the scenario they gave. I think that's the only way you could actually explain the numbers well. But then a lot of people saying, oh, it's all in Hurley's head, that's impossible, and that sucks. But maybe it's in Hurley's and Libby's and Jack's, and maybe they're all at the hospital, which is why the point of having Libby shown at the end, I thought. And there's all these folks saying, oh, it's because Libby's there spying. Well, no, I think they were implying that she's taking meds as well and is under treatment as well. I don't know. I've always leant towards this psychoanalysis kind of bent. But anyway, don't get me started on SOS. What a load of rubbish that was. I'm sorry. Okay, so that was basically the Jin and Soon story. They were just telling us that the island can cure people and stuff, and it was redundant. It was completely unnecessary. They don't ever have to write about that kind of thing again, I don't think. It's been drummed into their heads too long. I think my frustration is simply that there's so much going on with Henry and the others and stuff, and we're getting bogged down, I feel. And that really is about it. But, I did think... No, that's it. Sorry, I just completely screwed my notes up. Anyway, I've certainly missed the original podcast. I do think it was the best out there by a country mile. I want Craig and Dylan to know that. And I really enjoyed my part in it that I had. You know, we've got a great show, even though I think it's stalled a little. Maybe it's going to pick up. Michael's sure to be a traitor, I'm sure of it. But no, it'll be good to see you guys have another crack at it, or, you know, maybe even some collaborative effort. Who knows? But keep on listening, keep the board alive. Cheers.
Yeah, you know what? I have to agree with Seattle Jimmy. Henry Gale, I believe, is the best thing going on for Lost right now. Even in SOS, that one shot of him just smiling
there—that's my wallpaper.
Was like the best part of that episode, yeah. And it's just a dude sitting there smiling. Like,
creepy.
There's so much stuff going on with that guy that it's just making the show so much better. I hope that guy sticks around for a while.
Yeah, good call from Seattle there.
And I really hope they don't kill off fake Henry Gale. My good buddies over at the Lost podcast, Jay and Jack, were also kind enough to send their kind words, and let's hear it. Take it away, Jay and Jack.
Hello, Lost listeners, podcast people out there. This is Jay.
And I'm Jack.
And we're just here to give our endorsement to get Craig back on the air.
Yes, Craig. Come back to us.
In any way, shape, or form, Ralph and Ben totally support your cause here.
Yep. We're behind you 100%.
There's only 4 episodes left, Craig, and come on.
Craig,
come on, buddy.
I know it's hard when you lose your partner, because I know if I lost Jay, I'd be thinking, no, it wouldn't bother me.
Whatever, okay? I'm sick of your attitude. Now, so this is the deal, Craig. 4 episodes left.
4 episodes.
And if you just...
Count them, 4.
I think you can just do the 4 episodes and then be done with it and just say, and then you can take a break. It's only 4 episodes.
It's only 4 episodes.
And I'm sure Ralph or Ben, they can co-host it with you.
Yeah.
I think you have an iBook and you can do iChat stuff and record it like it's, I don't know. I know you can do that with the new GarageBand.
Can you?
Yeah. But, you know, it's, you got a bajillion fans out there. We want to hear some Mayakum with Sass.
Yep.
At least till the end of this season. And Jack, he's like in the fetal position every Saturday now.
I am.
Because really, it was something that we would enjoy,
mm-hmm.
And you guys would make us laugh so hard, but you need to come back. Right, Jack?
Definitely.
You need to come back. Right, Jack.
I don't think they're going to come back. They're not going to come back if you start singing.
I think I have a beautiful voice.
I think that'll scare them away.
And then it'll bring them back with my amazing voice.
No.
No?
No.
All right. So my Occam with Sass needs to come back.
Well, I think what? We have a lot of our listeners also were they're fans of them too, and
they lament to us every time they talk to us. Please. We miss my Occam with
Sass. Are they coming back? I go, I don't know. I don't know.
And like the offer's still on the table, I'm sure Jack would love to co-host with you.
Yeah, I'm looking for a good partner.
Hey, what? Heck, I'd co-host with you, okay?
Well,
and I'll do it for free, no charge.
Okay, I'll go one better. I'll pay to do it.
How much?
Right now, I got $25 on the table.
I'll pay you $50 if I can co-host.
$51.
$1,000.
Yeah.
Big money. You can't handle that, Jack.
You're on record as saying you'll pay $1,000.
Dang it. Never mind. No, well, I can't.
Deal or no
now.
Deal.
True. All right, so.
Hey, why don't they get Chuck Norris?
That's a good idea.
He's not working.
I have my Chuck Norris action figure right here.
Yeah, you never sent it to him. Never.
Okay, I will give you my Chuck Norris action figure. That was a gift for you anyway. It's never sent it. It's right here. Totally killer. Copyright 1987 with karate chop action. I will give this to you, Craig, if you do the last four recap the last four episodes.
I think that's quite an offer.
Especially since the official Lost podcast ripped you guys off and did their 6 degrees of...
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, did you see that?
I didn't see it. I heard it.
Well, no, it was six. What was it called again? I mean, you guys do 8 revelations and they do 6. I mean, come on.
Well, they couldn't quite go the whole
distance.
Yeah,
they couldn't muster up the 8. All right, so this is Jay and Jack signing off one more time. Jack, let's say it.
Okay.
Save my Occam with Sass.
Save him.
You were supposed to say it in unison. Ready?
I was going
to
get a cardboard sign. Will work.
For my Occam with Sass?
Yes.
Hey, I think that's in order.
I'll go on the street corner and...
Will work for my Occam with
Sass. Spread the word, yeah.
All right, so ready, together, Jack. Save my Occam with Sass. All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, guys, bye.
That's a pretty good offer. Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris is pretty sweet, but I found it funny that they go from telling Craig, hey, you should co-host with Ralph and Ben, to immediately trying to take over that and give Jay offering up Jack and Jack offering up Jay. It just seems like
they turned
on us pretty quickly.
They turned on themselves. They're falling apart.
All right. Let's go. Finally, our last audio comment is from none other than Wesh. And I got to say, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, check it out.
Hi, I'm Wesh from Belgium, and basically it comes down to this. Hey, yo, Craig, what's up with the break? I tried some other podcasts, but they all sound fake. Except for Jack and Jay, they're seriously okay. They're doing it, this ass back, everybody screams, yeah! So killing up the show is a fucking name. We need a fucking podcast, maybe they said, wait! Don't feel pushed by the stress on the tone, though. Here's a blue stone that half cream, half foam, yo. So good luck, Craig. Talk to your ladies. Make a big cast and fuck all the haters. Rah! That's what I'm talking about. That was what I had to say. Hope to hear from you soon. Craig, Scott, Steve, whatever. Best of luck with anything you do, man. Peace. Bye.
Now that was outstanding.
All right, Wesh. Awesome call.
Thanks.
Dude, you got to go on the block spot and leave those lyrics because I would like to do a sing-along with that. Very,
follow
very
the bouncing
cool.
ball.
We also, I also was in contact with Kim from T-Dot.
My Occam with Sassers. Kimberly here from Toronto, just adding a quick hello to this resurrected podcast. And before I go off on a little rant, I just want to say thanks to Ralph for doing all of this. You know, I thought I was the only one suffering from my Occam with Sass withdrawal, but it's really good to know that I'm not the only one. So what's up with everyone? What's new? Well, for me, I've graduated from grad school. Yay! So now it's time for me to get out into the real world, but until that day comes, I'm still here enjoying Lost and watching it every week. But the only beef I have with the show is that it seems to be really drawn out, you know, taking a long time for anything to develop. I know all the episodes are leading up to May sweeps, but come on, can we have an episode where things happen over the entire episode, not just the last 3 minutes? I didn't have have time to do my usual Lost Diary, but I did want to say hi to everyone and just add my two cents over the greatest show ever. But, you know, there's been times where I've watched the show and, you know, a funny line is said by one of the characters and I go, that'll be great for the Lost Diary. I miss doing that. But hopefully, you know, in the next couple of weeks we can get this thing rolling again. Henry Gale, like, he's my favorite character right now. He's, like, so weird and so creepy that you just want to watch him. Echo, I totally knew he was building a church. I called it from day one. Saeed, why can't they show more of Saeed? It seems whenever he's in an episode, something good happens because he's the only one who seems to be asking questions. Sawyer, I just don't want to punch him in the face. He's so getting on my nerves. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big Sawyer fan, but stop pretending to be a badass when we know that you're really not. And when are we going to see something go down with the Jack, Kate, Anna Lucia, Sawyer love quad? So many things, you know, like Libby. Hello, she was a patient in the mental institution. Rose had cancer but is miraculously cured, just like Locke was with his bum leg. Sun is pregnant but Jin is sterile. Like, what's going on this island? And to top it all off, Michael's back! I could just go on and on and on, but I'm not, and so let's just end it there. Hopefully this podcast will be back and I can actually have time to put together a Lost Diary, but it's up to Scott and Steve and Craig and Dylan, if you're still out there, and Ralph, and I guess you guys. This week's episode is another re-airing of The Reckoning. Just a recap of what's happened so far. And then next week, we get a new episode called Two for the Road, which is, from what I recall, an Anna Lucia-centric episode, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that's it from me. Until next time, I'm Kimberly. Namaste.
Congratulations to Kim. Thanks for the support this week. Get a job. Yeah. But thank you. And next, we are going to have take a letter that Dylan sent to Amy in Little Rock, one of the biggest supporters of Michael's House. Amy was kind enough to post this letter up on the Blogspot. And you could also check out the Blogspot at scottandsteve.blogspot.com. And here is what Dylan had to say to Amy.
Okay, so he writes, Amy, thank you for your wonderful letter. It is inspiring to see a young person such as yourself endeavor to such great heights. Study hard and stay in school, and one day you may accelerate your life with the Navy. Honor, courage, commitment. SR Dylan Speed, Educational Petty Officer, Division 158, RTC Great Lakes, U.S. Navy. P.S. That chart you sent me and some of the info made my blood run cold. I can't believe what I'm missing. Thanks for keeping me up to date.
Yeah, I guess Amy sent Dylan, in her letter, a copy of the Blacklight map, which is pretty cool.
I know if I'd missed that episode and someone sent me that, I would probably be reeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want, you know, if you want to, there's more to the letter that I don't think Dylan would mind us checking out. But check it out at the Blogspot. Amy put it all up. It's great. And just so everyone knows that the Blogspot is still up and running. Craig added something last night. It was a cool, I don't know if you didn't get a chance to see this, but it's a, someone took a video game mod and created a first-person shooter type of scenario and put it in the world of Lost. Like, there's the bunker, there's the hatch, there's, I know the Black Rock is there.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that, but it didn't load, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's actually really neat. Yeah. Check that out on the Blogspot. Everybody, thank you for your comments. Keep the boards alive. It's good to still see all the SAS fans up there, keeping it live, keeping the dream alive, keeping it going.
Sassy.
Yeah, they're doing that too. So anyway, I'm pretty sure that's going to be our show. We're going to send this off to Craig and we're going to hopefully hear it. Hopefully you guys can, keep in touch, keep the boards alive, keep the calls coming. Call the old SAS line, just to let Craig know that you're still there and you still want the show to go on. And like I said, call the new SOS line, which you can send to me at 206-333-1530. And all those audio comments go directly to my email address, and I can forward those to Craig. Or you can even continue sending Craig emails at scottandsteve@gmail.com. That's scottandsteve @gmail.com.
All right.
Do you have any closing thoughts on how the show went?
Yeah, well, I think we did pretty good. I mean, we sat around for a while and said some things. We watched the computer do its thing.
With any good show, there's always,
bad parts.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking that there's always, like, any good conversation has two sides, so I think it actually was the shittiest podcast ever put out there. But that's my opinion.
And the second side of that is that I agree with you.
Awesome. Well, guys, that's it for us.
Come back.
As for me, this is something that I'm sending to Craig. Hopefully he enjoys it, and hopefully it sparks his interest back into putting up podcasts.
Yeah.
And
to show how it could be done.
Awesome. For Craig right
no,
away.
No, I'm saying he could show us. Like, he'll listen to this and say, oh man, that totally sucks ass. I gotta get back out there and save the world.
Because the way you said it, I thought you meant, see, Craig, see how we're doing it? We're showing you how it's done.
Yeah, that'd be by using our
mouse and recording equipment to make entertainment.
Yeah.
Something you probably don't know about, jerk.
Burn. Anyway. No, I didn't do that.
All right, guys, take it easy, and let's say, usually Dylan would say namaste or goodbye, Internetica, or Craig would say something like that. I'm going to go with see you in another life.
Ooh. I only have one arm, so I'm going to go with namaste.
All right, namaste. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.
This is where I hit the stop button.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stopped.
I did it.